This is our gospel reading. It's from Luke 6, 27 to 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. This is the gospel of Christ. All glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Peace be with you, everyone. Congratulations to all the Rams fans on the Super Bowl victory. The Rams were not the only winners at Super Bowl 56 in Inglewood on Sunday. There were another winners from Riverside, California. According to the local newspaper, the Press Enterprise, dated last Thursday, the Riverside local news section's top story was "Deaf Players Wowed at Super Bowl." Four high school football players from California School for the Deaf, located here on Central in Riverside, were invited to witness the coin toss before the Sunday's game at SoFi Stadium. The invitation followed a historic season for the school when the team played a championship game for the first time in its 68-year history. I also watched the coin toss on TV, you know, and it was amazing when I heard these boys came from Riverside, California. Wow. The newspaper also reported that there are about 1 million deaf people living in the United States. Comparing the number with the general population, the deaf community is very, very small. In this sense, they are minorities. So, witnessing these four deaf football players' presences at Super Bowl before the national TV with 101.1 million viewers and worldwide was truly a heartwarming story of hope and courage for everyone. Last Sunday, I shared with you the part one of my sermon miniseries, Choose to Be Happy. The main point was love your God. This morning is the second part of the conclusion, love your neighbor. This morning you got your gift from the church, the mask, love your neighbor, right? Everyone gets one. If you have not received one, ask usher to give you one. and it available in the narthex. Only supplies last. Only today. It's still, if you are watching online and listening to the telephone, if you want to stop by at the church office, you can pick up your own mask too. It's okay. It's a nice one. And it says, love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Matching with my sermon title and matching with my shirt. I hope you enjoy your mask for your own health, well-being, and safety, even though the mask mandate is constantly being modified. This morning's gospel text is from Luke 6, 27 through 38 in two parts, mainly two parts. First one is love your enemies. And the second, do not judge. Probably many of you are familiar with this gospel passage, which is one of the most radical messages of Jesus, given not only to his disciples and all the followers at that time and the multitude, but also to us today, especially all Christians. However, this morning, I'd like to emphasize more on a very special verse. It's verse 31. It says, do to others as you would have them do to you. Let's say it all together. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Generally, this verse is called the Golden Rule. The term Golden Rule or Golden Law began to be used widely in the early 17th century in Britain by Anglican theologians and preachers. However, this principle or idea of treating others as one wants to be treated date at least to the early Confucian times, around from 551 to 479 BCE, before Common Era. Since then, this concept has been one of the most important universal and interfaith code of ethic. You will be surprised that if you study Buddhism, Christianity, Hinduism, Islam, Judaism, and many other worlds' major religions, you will find this golden rule in every religion, even though they don't say it, golden rule. But all the concepts, same concept, and even every culture around the world. Interestingly, in 1993, about 200 scholars and leaders who represented many world religions, after a two-year consultation, gathered in Chicago, Illinois, and endorsed the Golden Rule as part of the, quote, declaration toward a global ethic, unquote. Yes, this Golden Rule is a global ethic beyond all religions and all cultures around the world. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Today is the final day of 2022 Beijing Winter Olympic Games, if you've been following. Together for a shared future has been the official motto of the Beijing Olympics. The motto represents the power of the games to overcome global challenges as a community with a shared future for humankind. It sounds wonderful, but I think it can only be possible and realistic when the whole global family come together by keeping the golden rule. So we must continue pursuing the best sincerely and faithfully to bring peace and unity to the whole world. This golden rule simply highlight Jesus' teaching on love your neighbor. I'm sure you still remember my sermon last Sunday, Love Your God. The main key to loving God is trust and obey. Trust what? Trust God's words and His promises. Trust that Jesus is always with you. And trust the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Obey God's greatest commandment. Love God and love your neighbor. So love your neighbor is, after all, the clear, tangible, and obedient part of the application of God's greatest commandment of love your God. This morning, I'd like to share with you love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor, by the way? Who is your neighbor? Someone sitting next to you? Yes, of course. Of course, your neighbor is a person or a family living your next door or across the street. If you have a good neighbor, that's wonderful. That's great. Moreover, your neighbor can be your own family, your friends, your co-workers, and all your acquaintances, right? Furthermore, just as you remember the Good Samaritan story from the Gospel of Luke, your neighbor can be a stranger, but someone who needs your help, or someone who helps you when you are in need as well. Also, your neighbor can be someone who lives far away or overseas, and maybe you are already supporting that needy person through a mission charity or any relief project effort. See, your neighbor can be practically anyone and everyone you encounter in your everyday life, near and far, and throughout your whole life. In this case, your neighbor means everyone, whether you are in any close relationship or not at all. So, generally, everyone is your neighbor. But your term neighbor also includes two more special categories of people that you might have overlooked before. Number one, the first category is yourself. Yes, yourself. Loving your neighbor begins with loving yourself. It's a built-in assumption in loving your neighbor. Without loving yourself, it would be impossible for you to love anyone. When I say love yourself, I do not mean that you are to be narcissistic, self-centered, or selfish, but to build your own sense of self-esteem that you are created by God and loved by God. Yes, you must realize that you are a beloved God's child by loving yourself. Loving yourself is loving God too, right? So when Jesus summarized the greatest commandment, he was actually quoting a passage from the Hebrew Bible for the love your neighbor part. Leviticus 19:18 says, "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Throughout the New Testament, mostly in the Gospels and the Epistles, the common and complete expression of the verse is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This phrase, "as yourself," is always included. And this "love yourself" exactly reflects the golden rule: do to others as you would have them do to you. while you consider yourself not to be superior to anyone, at the same time, everyone must treat you equally, not more or not less. That's why this golden rule is important beyond all the religions. Treating everyone equally is the essence of equal opportunity in the society to create peace, harmony, and unity. Yes, choose to be happy, especially by loving yourself. Love yourself has two steps, self-acceptance and self-love. Mia Leysen, a professor of psychology in Belgium, wrote an article entitled Love Yourself in the World Book of Love. One of her key points, quote, self-acceptance is an important stage in many healing processes, but more powerful and life-giving is self-love. God loves you as you are. Be grateful for who you are. Be happy by loving yourself. Amen? Number two, the second category is your enemies. Love your enemies. Wow, you heard it right. Love your enemies. Jesus says in verse 27 and forward, but I say to you that, listen, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you, and so on. Wow, what a radical and seemingly impossible commandment it is. How can you love your enemies? When you heard the word enemies, you would probably think of those extreme terrorists, military dictators, or evil leaders such as Adolf Hitler, who was responsible for the Holocaust, the genocide of killing 6 million Jews and millions of other lives. How can you love these kinds of monsters and destroyers? Well, that would be a good question. My immediate and simple attempt to respond to that question is that God is not only the God of love, but also the God of justice. So I believe that in terms of punishing them for their evil and inhumane deeds, God deals with them with his justice and righteousness. In Deuteronomy 32-35, God clearly proclaims, revenge is my domain. In some other translation, revenge is mine. Yes, vengeance is God's domain. We, as the children of God, are simply called to love, but not to judge. That's why Jesus says in verse 37, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Now, let's get back to love your enemies as part of your love your neighbor. When Jesus says, love your enemies, you need to understand the setting, the context, and which enemies Jesus was referring to. In Jesus' time, for the Jews, their enemies were definitely who? The Roman Empire, especially its evil dictators such as Nero, you know, all the fellow Romans. Obviously, the Jews despised the Romans because they oppressed God's people. But Jesus told the Jews to love their enemies mainly because it was for God's people's own good and own blessings, not because of their enemies' welfare. Jesus loved the whole world, even though the world was in rebellion against God. While Jesus was being crucified on the cross, one of the last words was, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. In this sense, today, in the light of God's grace and the gospel, your enemies might be those who are against you, of course, those who disagree you, and those who hate you. And surprisingly, your enemy category can even include your own family or your own friends or anyone you thought you can trust or and rely on. The boundary between your friends or foes are ever changing. Yesterday's enemies can become your friends today and vice versa. For example, when Japan attacked the Pearl Harbor in 1941 and the World War II started, German and Italy allied with Japan against the US and the UK. At that time, two more main countries became United States allies. Can you guess? Can you remember? The Soviet Union and China. Ooh. However, during the Korean War, 1950 to 1953, the Soviet Union and China backed the communist regime of North Korea and became the enemies of the United States, along with the United Nations forces to support South Korea. See, international diplomat relationships have been changing in reversing friends and foes. Today, in 2022, after over 80 years since the Pearl Harbor attack, many of you are, I believe, driving a Japanese-made car, right? Japanese cars? Like Toyota, right? Honda, right? Yeah, Nissan or so, right? Did you know the Japanese word Nissan means literally made in Japan? These days, no American says, oh, I am driving my enemy's car, or I'm driving my, you know, I'm buying enemy's car. No, no. Unlike the Soviet Union, under the leadership of Joseph Stalin, now, maybe this week or any day or so, Russia's President Putin might be trying to start a war invasion against Ukraine. A great deal of tensions is out there right now. Why would Putin try to take Ukraine? Many people analyze that because Ukraine used to be a part of the former Soviet Union. Now Putin wants to restore the old glory back while he's in control. Everybody knows that. Putin is being criticized, that's why, by the whole global community now. Unfortunately and sadly, Russia has been notorious for his doping scandals among their Olympic athletes, even during 2022 Beijing Winter Olympics. Anyhow, relationships based on mutual interests and expectations, whether among the nations or people, are complex and sensitive and can be reversed always. See, even in your life and relationship dynamics, anybody can easily turn into your enemy due to any reason or sometimes without any apparent reasons. From my over 60 years of life and over 30 years of ministry experiences, I have realized that there is one common thing among my so-called enemies, even though there were not many. One of many reasons why they have become my enemies is that they all wanted to be loved more. They have not been loved enough by me. I'm sure your own enemies wanted to be loved more by you. More attention, more care, and more time are expected from you. Your potential enemies also long for your love. That's why Jesus challenges us by saying, verse 32, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? That is right. You can love anyone who loves you back. That's so easy and comfortable. For this kind of easy love, you don't need to be a Christian or a disciple of Christ. Normally, any human being can do it easily. But Jesus requires you of a higher level of loving your neighbor, just like loving your God. Your love is for everyone, including not only your loved ones, but also your enemies. Last fall, I attended an online leadership institute hosted by the Church of the Resurrection. You know, Adam Hamilton is the pastor. Its keynote speaker was Bob Goff, a San Diego lawyer and professor at Pepperdine Law School and Point Loma Nazarene University in San Diego. I enjoyed his lectures very much. One of his books is Live in Grace, Walk in Love, a 365-day journey. From the book, he writes a devotion on loving our enemies. Quote, "Even when we are sure they are in the wrong, we have an opportunity to remember God's response to us when we were even more wrong. It was total grace. Loving our enemies is a hard test to pass. But when we do it right, we show ourselves to be eager student at the feet of a great and compassionate teacher." Unquote. My brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus emphasized the power of forgiveness in verse 37. Forgive and you will be forgiven. This verse is still relevant to love your enemies. Forgiving someone who has hurt you or offended you is, after all, for your own good and for your own happiness. That someone might not have realized or have forgotten or have no intention to ask you for forgiveness. However, when you forgive that person with God's grace, you will restore yourself, your peace, and your happiness so that you can move on in your life. After all, God has forgiven you through the amazing grace of Christ and still loves you so much. Yes, everyone, choose to be happy by loving God and loving your neighbor. Thanks be to God. All the God's people say, Amen. Amen.